While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Maya, tell them what happened to your cousin last week.
Man, I'm still heated about this. So my cousin Darnell, right? Been working as a delivery driver for 3 years, perfect record, gets flagged by some algorithm saying he's high risk for theft. No explanation, no appeal process, just boom, deactivated from the platform. 3 years of 5-star ratings gone because some code decided he fit a pattern.
And this connects directly to what we're seeing across multiple sectors. The Wired investigation into the suspicion machine found similar patterns in the Netherlands. Algorithms targeting entire neighborhoods for fraud investigations based on proxy indicators for race and poverty.
See, that's what I'm talking about. They building these digital red lines and acting like it's neutral because a computer said so. My whole block getting denied services that other neighborhoods take for granted.
I spent 5 years inside one of these companies building these systems. What Maya's describing, I've seen the code. I've sat in the meetings where they decide which risk factors to include. Nobody ever says, let's discriminate against Black folks, but when you use zip codes, when you use names, when you use social network data.
You discriminating without saying the quiet part loud. I see you, Amara. Thank you for keeping it real. The data I've been collecting shows this isn't isolated. In healthcare alone, we're seeing algorithms that consistently underestimate pain levels for Black patients, overpredict risk for certain communities, and route people to different quality care based on insurance algorithms that embed historical bias.
Keiko, break that down more specifically. What are you finding?
So, I analyzed 47 different healthcare algorithms currently in use. 34 of them showed statistically significant disparate impact by race. One kidney function algorithm was systematically underestimating disease severity for Black patients because it used a race-based adjustment that assumed different baseline kidney function. Hold up, hold up. You telling me the computer looking at my kidneys different because I'm Black, not my actual kidneys, but what it thinks Black kidneys supposed to do? Exactly, and this isn't theoretical. It meant Black patients were getting on transplant lists later, receiving dialysis later, dying at higher rates.
This is why we filed suit in the Northern District. The algorithm wasn't just biased, it was killing people. And when we subpoenaed the company's internal communications, we found engineers raising these exact concerns 2 years before deployment.
Carlos, what happened to those concerns?
Buried in a risk assessment document, the company decided the liability was worth the efficiency gains. They literally calculated that settling wrongful death suits would cost less than fixing the algorithm.
See, this is why I'd be ready to flip tables. They put a price tag on our lives and said it wasn't worth enough to fix their broken system. My grandmother went through this exact thing, kept telling her she wasn't sick enough for treatment when her kidneys was failing.
I remember those conversations, Carlos. Not at that specific company, but the same logic everywhere. We can't let perfect be the enemy of good. We need to ship something. We'll fix it in version 2.0. But version 2.0 never comes, and the harm compounds.
Let's talk about employment. The International Journal of Artificial Intelligence documented how hiring algorithms are creating new forms of workplace discrimination.
My team analyzed 15 major platforms. Every single one showed bias against names that sounded ethnic, against addresses in certain neighborhoods, against gaps in employment that often correlate with caregiving or incarceration. You know what's crazy? My brother changed his name on applications, went from Deshaun to D. Shaw Williams, and suddenly started getting callbacks. Same resume, same experience, but the algorithm liked him better without the full name. Had to code switch on paper before he could even code switch in person.
We're seeing this in housing too. Tenant screening algorithms using arrest records, not convictions, just arrests, as negative factors. In neighborhoods where police presence is higher, that means automatic discrimination.
The worst part is the feedback loops. These systems learn from biased data, make biased decisions, create more biased data, and then claim they're just reflecting reality. It's digital Jim Crow with a machine learning veneer.
The Wired investigation called it poverty profiling, using characteristics associated with poverty as risk factors, then penalizing people for being poor.
That's real talk right there. They got algorithms deciding if you deserve food stamps based on how many times you moved addresses. You know why poor folks move a lot? Because landlords raise rent. Because neighborhoods get gentrified. But the computer says moving means you're fraudulent. In Rotterdam, the system flagged people for investigation based on language settings on their phones. Having your phone in Turkish or Arabic became a risk factor. Oh, hell no. Now they policing what language you speak. My mom keeps her phone in Spanish because that's what she's comfortable with. That make her suspicious?
This is exactly what we're challenging in court. These proxy variables that seem neutral but are actually deeply discriminatory. The legal framework hasn't caught up to the technology.
Because the people making the laws don't understand the technology. I've testified before Congress 5 times. You know what questions they ask? Can't we just make the algorithm not see race? As if removing the race variable solves racism when you're still using every proxy for race in existence.
Let's talk about criminal justice. Predictive policing algorithms are directing police to neighborhoods based on historical arrest data.
Which means they're sending more police to places that already over-policed. My nephew got arrested 3 times for the same thing white kids do in the suburbs every weekend. But his arrest goes in the data, and now the algorithm says our block needs more police. It's a trap, for real. The data shows arrest rates in algorithmically targeted neighborhoods increase by 20%, not because crime increases, but because police presence increases. Then that new arrest data feeds back into the system.
And in sentencing, we have algorithms recommending longer sentences based on risk scores that include factors like employment history and neighborhood, essentially punishing people for being poor.
That's my cousin right there. Judge said the computer recommended 5 years instead of 2 because he was high risk. High risk of what? Being black and unemployed? The factory closed. That's why he ain't have a job.
You know, I've reviewed the code for 3 of these risk assessment tools. They're using factors that directly correlate with race and class. Education level, employment history, residential stability. It's not predicting future crime. It's identifying past disadvantage.
The International Journal found these tools increased racial disparities in sentencing by 45% in jurisdictions where they were adopted.
And there's no accountability. When I request the algorithms for analysis, companies claim trade secrets. When communities demand transparency, they're told the math is too complex to understand. That's that bullshit right there. Too complex. Nah, you just don't want us to see how you're doing us dirty. My community understands complex just fine when it's affecting our lives.
This is why our litigation strategy includes demanding algorithmic transparency. If you're making decisions about people's lives, those people have a right to know how.
But transparency isn't enough. I can show you exactly how these systems discriminate, and companies will say that's not the intent. Impact matters more than intent.
What about financial services, loan algorithms, credit scoring?
Credit scoring algorithms now incorporate social media data, shopping patterns, even what time of day you fill out applications. Night shift workers get dinged for applying at unusual hours. Wait, what? So, because I work nights at the hospital and fill out my loan application at 3 a.m., I'm risky? These people really trying to find any reason to deny us.
We have a case where a small business owner was denied a loan because the algorithm analyzed her social network and determined her connections were financially unstable. It was literally digital redlining based on who your friends are.
I built one of those systems. We called it Network Risk Assessment. The idea was that financially stable people associate with other financially stable people. Nobody wanted to acknowledge we were just encoding segregation.
This is why I be telling people they want us separated, isolated, because when we together, we powerful. But they even trying to use our friendships against us now.
The evidence shows these systems affecting everything from insurance rates to medical treatment to government benefits. How do we fight back?
First thing, we got to get our people educated on this. Not everybody needs to understand the code, but everybody needs to understand their rights. When I found out about Darnell, I got on every platform, every group chat, letting folks know this is happening. Community-based auditing is essential. We need affected communities involved in testing these systems, documenting harm, creating evidence.
And litigation. We need more lawsuits. The civil rights framework exists. We just need to apply it to these new forms of discrimination.
Inside pressure, too. There are people in these companies who want to do better. They need support, protection for whistleblowing, and clear alternatives to propose.
See, this is what I'm talking about. We need all hands on deck. The lawyers, the researchers, the inside people, and most important, the community. Because we the ones living with this every day.
What specific demands should movements be making?
Algorithmic impact assessments before deployment, just like environmental impact studies, but for discrimination.
Right to explanation. If an algorithm makes a decision about you, you should have the legal right to a human understandable explanation.
And liability. Right now, companies hide behind it's just a tool. If your tool discriminates, you're liable for that discrimination.
And we need our own people building these systems. Not just hiring some black faces to rubber stamp what's already built, but from the ground up, with our community's needs centered.
The Wired piece mentioned communities in the Netherlands organizing their own data collection to counter official algorithms.
That's what I'm talking about. We can't wait for them to fix their broken systems. We got to build our own. My neighborhood started tracking police stops ourselves because we knew the official data was lies. Community data sovereignty is powerful. When marginalized communities control their own data, they can challenge official narratives.
And it's admissible in court. We've used community-collected data to challenge algorithmic decisions. Judges are starting to recognize that official data isn't neutral.
This is why I left tech to work with communities, teaching people not just to understand algorithms, but to build alternatives. We're creating cooperative platforms that don't exploit, assessment tools that don't discriminate.
Yo, Amara, how can regular people get involved in that? Because I got young people in my community who are brilliant with computers but don't know how to channel it.
We run workshops every month, free, community-based, focused on building tech that serves us instead of surveilling us. It's not just coding. It's reimagining what technology could be if we built it.
As we wrap up, what's the path forward?
Listen, the path forward is what it's always been. Organize, educate, agitate. These algorithms ain't nothing but the new way to do old oppression. But we've fought back before and we'll fight back now. We need sustained pressure on multiple fronts. Research to document harm, legal challenges to establish precedent, organizing to build power, and alternatives to show another way is possible.
The law is slowly catching up. Each case we win sets precedent. But we need more people willing to challenge these systems, more lawyers taking these cases, more judges understanding the technology.
And we need to imagine beyond reform. Yes, fix the current systems, but also build new ones. Algorithms don't have to be tools of oppression. They could be tools of liberation if we design them that way.
That's the energy right there. We ain't just trying to make their discrimination slightly nicer. We're trying to build a whole new world where everybody gets what they need, where computers help us thrive instead of just survive.
The evidence is clear. Algorithmic bias is replicating and amplifying existing inequalities across every sector of society. But so is the resistance. Communities are documenting harm, developing alternatives, and demanding accountability. This isn't just a technical problem, it's a justice movement.
And like every justice movement, it's going to take all of us. Whether you coding, organizing, researching, or just living your life and getting impacted, you part of this fight. We see you, we need you, and together, we're going to win. That's on everything.